Joining me by phone right now is Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. And Jonathan, a lot of talk about this ceasefire. Thank you for taking time to get us the inside scoop.
You're very welcome.
So, Jonathan, right now, it appears that this ceasefire has hit a little bit of a snag. Can you give us some details as to where things stand at this moment?
Yeah, that's right, Jolynn. Last night, it appeared as though everything was going very well. The Qataris announced that Israel and Hamas had agreed to the ceasefire deal, which was a sort of fleshed out, more detailed version of the deal put forward by the Biden administration in May last year. And everything appeared to be going fairly smoothly. But today, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said that his cabinet would not be meeting to approve the deal, saying that a last-minute crisis had emerged, accusing Hamas of reneging on parts of the agreement, trying to get further concessions out of Israel. A concerning moment, especially for the Palestinians and Israelis who had very much hoped that this deal would be sealed. But there's probably still a fair amount of optimism that these last-minute snags will be ironed out. Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, just earlier today, saying that he's confident and fully expects that implementation will begin on Sunday.
On Sunday. So isn't that interesting, the timing just a day before President-elect Trump's inauguration?
Yeah, it certainly is. And we should, of course, bring up the fact that President-elect Trump has been included and his team have been included in these negotiations. He put out that post on Truth Social in December, I think it was, saying that it would be hell to pay if the hostages weren't returned by his inauguration. Well, the hostages won't be returned, but the hope is that there will be a fully executed ceasefire deal in place and the start of the return of hostages by then. Over the last few hours and days, it has become clear just how involved the Trump team has been in these talks. He sent his envoy, Steve Witkoff, to take part in negotiations alongside the Biden administration, who, of course, have been pushing and working on these talks, working on this deal for months. The Qataris came out to point out that, in their view, this was a collaboration transcending both administrations.
And I love that we're seeing that collaboration really is possible, even when there is some ugly political history. It's beautiful to see that in this instance, the country is being put first.
It's also important for people in the Middle East as well. It was important for Hamas, I think, in their minds to know that they weren't just agreeing a deal with the outgoing administration. They were agreeing a deal that was fully backed by the incoming administration, too. That way, they felt, and probably the Israelis, too, felt confident that it would hold.
Right, because President Biden is down to just days in his administration. So, yes, in order for them to have that confidence, they would need to know that President-elect Trump and his team are fully aware and that not only that, they're committed and they are ready to drive this thing forward.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And there's plenty of reporting today, including from Axios, which it talks about the extent to which Donald Trump has been part of this, with sending his envoys, with Steve Witkoff telling Benjamin Netanyahu, according to Axios, that Trump is serious about the deal. Don't ruin this. So the Trump administration, not just putting pressure on Hamas, but putting pressure on the Israelis as well. Well, for his part, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, has come out to thank Donald Trump and Joe Biden for their parts in getting the negotiations to this point.
Jonathan, I can't help but think about the families right now of the hostages. They've got to be on pins and needles. Do we have any further information about the well-being of the hostages? I mean, there's so many unknowns. We know the conditions are ugly, but what about the conditions of the remaining hostages?
Well, let me just start by start this answer by giving you a quote from the niece of someone who was taken hostage by Hamas on October 7th, 2023. She says, "I need to invent a new word to describe it, when joy and worry meet." I think that's a very apt way of summing up the feelings of a lot of the families right now. One of the issues for the families is that not all the hostages are going to be released at the same time under this deal. 33 hostages will be released over the first 6 weeks, but there are around 95 to 100 hostages believed to be held by Hamas. Around a third of them are already dead. And for the people who know or understood to have lost loved ones there, that doesn't make it any easier. The father of the Israeli-American hostage, Itai Chen, saying he wanted all the hostages and their bodies returned in one go. He said that, "My son is a hero. He doesn't deserve to rot in Gaza."
Right. And so it's got to just be a bit agonizing. I love the quote that you shared, joy and worry kind of meeting together. There's got to be that cautious optimism. But truly, we know that even when these hostages are released, there's going to be a lot of healing that's going to have to take place.
There is. There is going to be healing for the hostages. There's going to be healing required for their families, and healing, I think, required for Israel as a nation, and of course healing required for the Palestinian people, who themselves have been living in a form of hell for the past 15 months in Gaza, where 46,000 people are reported to have died. I think that there will be hostages who will be coming out and sharing their stories of their detention. There'll be others who will not be willing to share their stories of detention. But I think everyone can agree that it's been a very dark time for the region.
Here's a question. I think it's an important question, but I also recognize there's no easy answer. Jonathan, what do you think about the ideology of Hamas? Is this going to have any impact, or are they just going to continue being ready to maybe retaliate again at some point?
The ideology of Hamas is something which I don't think is going to die very quickly at all. Anthony Blinken, he said that for every member of Hamas that has been killed by Israel in this war, they've recruited at least one more to replace them. But their ideology isn't changing. They don't want Israel to exist at all. And that's another problem that will have to be addressed again in the future.